Welcome to the CCF Podcast. We're a campus ministry at Truman State University. This podcast features sermons from our weekly worship services. Thanks for listening.
If you went on spring break, you saw a lot of me. I'm also an intern, which is the reason that I'm up here. I'm a sophomore psych major. If you were around in the fall, maybe you heard from me. So we usually do a lot of introductions, but I figured we'll just get to it tonight. So we are just going to go through my titles now. So I have diversity of the body, unity in the spirit, or you belong here, or wow, they really let me do this again. Okay, here we go. Welcome to our series on 1 Corinthians. Whether you're a weekly CCF attendee, or this is your first time, or you fall somewhere in the middle, I am glad you're here. So far in this letter to the church in Corinth, we've seen Paul talk about the specific issues that he's been told of in the relatively young church. Last week, we heard Emily talk about a shift occurring. We're going from more of the specific or niche issues to the broader big ideas. If Paul has been directing them and us towards unity and the love of Christ, then what we talk about from chapter 12 is a big part of what he was pointing to. That's not to say that this chapter is any more important than the last or the ones before it, but rather that there has been a shift in what Paul is doing. So, here we go. I'm going to read parts of the chapter, tell you what I see, and then ask you to think about what you see. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Throughout the early part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we see that many among them are hesitant to break their old cultural traditions. A prime example was when some of the newer Christians had reservations over eating the meat from sacrifices to idols. Many of the Corinthians might have once been people bowing down to statues and placing sacrifices at their altars. Paul recognizes this. But an even larger demographic in the Church of Corinth is that many of them were culturally Greek. This means that there are large portions of the Church of Corinth trying to figure out how to understand the gospel of Jesus through a Greek lens. That is, trying to acquire every piece of knowledge and line of reasoning available to them so that they can be the most informed. We should easily relate to this, or at least know what this looks like. If I cough at all tonight, it's because I've had this weird cough for like 2 weeks, and I don't know what's going on. But just give me some grace. But as a way of appealing to them, trying to be well-informed, Paul makes a logic-based argument. Verse 3 confused me a little bit when I first read it, but now it seems like Paul is trying to appeal to the value the Greeks place on finding truth through knowledge. He's about to discuss the complex and mysterious roles that the Spirit plays in our lives, and he wants them to understand. He needed them to be well-informed in a way that might not come naturally to them. So he tried to break it down in a way they might easily understand. Obviously, the Spirit of God would never lead someone to curse Jesus' name, nor would anyone be inclined to proclaim Jesus as Lord without that same Spirit. These are just examples to show the Corinthians the nature of the Spirit we're talking about today. All right, now that we've come to understand where we've been, we can get started down the road to where we're going. For the next few ideas in chapter 12, we're going to be pairing up some verses. The structure of this part of the letter seems to repeat itself, and I doubt that Paul did this unintentionally. There could be some other structure here that I'm unaware of, but I at least see a way that this makes sense to me, and maybe this will help you. In the gospel, Jesus often uses the phrase, truly I tell you, or very truly I tell you. The extra emphasis on the very is important because it is acting as a promise that what you are hearing or reading is the solemn truth. So perhaps the reason that Paul repeats himself in this chapter is to draw attention to what is being discussed. Now that we have that established, I can show you what I mean. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. That was 4 through 6, and 12 through 14 is, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So there are two main topics of discussion in this chapter. The first is spiritual gifts, and the second is about the church body. While these seem like separate topics generally, the link between them can be clear when comparing these verses. There are different gifts, but behind them is one spirit. God has blessed some with creativity, others with public speaking, and others still with exceptional physical ability. Now, this does not mean that you came to know your gifts easily, or even that you know what they are as you sit here today. There is a frustrating process of trial and error and disappointment that is sometimes necessary to find what you're good at. I don't want you to think that spiritual gifts are clean-cut and easily found. To find your talents, it can be necessary to figure out what you are not very good at. But, importantly, behind each of your talents, there is the same spirit. Likewise, our individuality and uniqueness are encouraged and cherished in the body of the Christian church. Or at least that's what I hope. But when a body is at its strongest is when all of its parts are working harmoniously. It doesn't matter where you come from, what major you are, or what job you work. You are, as a follower of Christ, a part of something much larger than yourself. Again, like Emily said last week, through communion, it doesn't matter who you are or what feelings you have about the person next to you. We are united in the body. It's not just your family, your friends, your small group, or even the whole congregation. Each of these is a small part of the larger body of Christ. The body of Christ has many parts, but we have all been connected and brought together by circumstances above our understanding. The Spirit of God bonding us together and helping us foster these friendships is key to this. I think CCF small groups are a nice microcosm of what I'm trying to get at here. Each small group focuses on very different topics. Topics this semester alone range from the different types of psalms, to a small group based around asking questions about our faith, to a support group for men who are fighting sexual sin, to whatever Derek does. I don't know if Derek really knows what he's doing, to be honest with you. But while there is diversity in the topic, there is unity in the mission. Each CCF small group's foremost focus is creating a shared and welcoming place for all people who choose to spend their time there. We want to build a closer community and give people the space to breathe during the week. The underlying heart posture is the same. The spirit leading the Dents is the same one leading Lawson. There are many small groups, yet one Truman State CCF. We are one part of the whole body of Christ. In the same way that this is a zoomed-in view of the body and spiritual gifts, it's worth it to acknowledge that this community is still just a small part of the larger body. Maybe you feel more involved with other churches at home or organizations like K-Life. They are absolutely included in what I'm saying. In the same way that small groups can represent parts of the larger body of CCF, the community that is CCF represents a single part of the larger body of Christ. Each church strives to speak truth and help its members walk faithfully, but they can do this in any number of ways. We do it how we feel is best, but we all strive to bring each other closer to God. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We see the same analogies being used here, so I'll try not to keep repeating myself. But like I mentioned earlier, I seem like a broken record, maybe consider closely what I'm saying. Many spiritual gifts are listed, but to focus too much on one gift or the other is the mistake. A mistake that the Corinthians were probably making to warrant this in the letter. It's not about the specific examples right now. We're talking about how we are united through the Spirit and the body. It's not through our actions that we have been blessed with our many different talents. We have little more control over our natural gifts than we do over how the stars are arranged. So it only makes sense that each of us would be grateful for what our passions and talents are, right? I mean, if we have no control over the gifts we've been given, and God, who is larger than all of our understanding, has arranged them just the way he wants them, why would we, I don't know, envy the gifts of others? That'd be stupid. Like, God arranged them the way he wants them. That is ludicrous. And yet, by that measure, I am an idiot. The issue that Paul is combating with reassurance here is comparison. Comparison in and of the body is the cause of so much of the church's turmoil. This was true of the church in Corinth. Why do you think Paul listed out all these different spiritual gifts? There was likely contention among them over what was the best gift to have. Who was the most powerful? Who was God's favorite? Speaking of being God's favorite, the disciples also fell into comparison. Right after Jesus partook in the first communion in Luke 22, the event that unifies us and renews us through weekly remembrance of Christ's love, the disciples began to argue over who among them was the greatest. Freaking kidding me? Yeah. But now I ask, are you any better? I'm not. Once again, it feels like the passage I chose to speak over had something important to say in my life. Funny how that works. I fall into comparison more than I would like to admit. It may surprise many of you to know that a lot of the time I feel like I'm just watching this community from the outside looking in. After all, I'm a spring break head, an intern, a former small group leader, a squad member. I help plan other general events. And for whatever it's worth, I do hold the title of president, whatever that means. I live in Halley and have a girlfriend who's also prominent in this community. I have strong friendships with the Dents and have had so many amazing opportunities to like be with other staff members. I understand that I hold many roles. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm not privileged enough to be a leader in this community. I'm also not trying to say that I have no close relationship with any of you. I care deeply for each of you. That's the thing. But I'm here to tell you that the number of things you were involved in does not guarantee many close friendships. I spend so much time trying to give myself to this community that sometimes I wonder if the actual relationships to the community have passed me by. Maybe you knew my name before today and you've heard me speak on spring break or you saw me last semester, but how much do you really know of me? This is not me blaming you. I know that I am loved here. I am excluding myself. It's almost as if I tell myself that because I don't know how to open myself up to them, I do not belong. But I am no less part of the body because of this. I'm so scared that I won't measure up to who I'm desired to be because I'm comparing myself to everyone, so it's easier to not try at all to let others in. But I am no less part of the body because of this. Why can't I be as welcoming as a Jensen? Why can't I effortlessly make people smile the way Stuart does? Why can't I be vulnerable and honest like Lawson? Why can't I be as wise and kind as Emily or John? Why can't I hear God like them? Why do I doubt more than them? Everyone seems to be able to find friends in CCF around every corner, and yet I feel alone watching the conversations and laughter swell as I shrink. I'm so busy comparing myself to everyone that I'm missing out on the experience of the body. Comparison to others and fear that I am unwanted have stopped me from opening myself up to finding more people to love and be loved by in CCF. Comparison will leave you arrogant, insecure, or both. But I am pulled back over and over again with the hope of chapter 12. I have a purpose in this body. I have gifts of my own. If any of you catch yourself comparing as I do or fearing that you don't have a place here, remember that. In fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, every single one, just as he wanted them to be. That's you, my friend. You are important to this community. You don't need to be in leadership to be an important role, like being an important role here. Yes, leadership is great. Shout out to the announcement that Reed literally just did right before this. But it's not like you don't have to be in leadership just to be important to this community. You ended up here because it was where you needed to be. You are a part of this body as much as I am. You are held and cherished and loved by the same spirit that dwells within the person next to you, the person you can barely look at, and the person standing in front of you. The body is made up of all its parts. Without each of you, the body would be lacking something beautiful. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. A lot of the language I've been using so far has been directed at you, like a general you. This is on purpose. I want each of you to understand that you belong to the body. You really are desired, and you truly are beloved. But there is something larger than ourselves that we need to give attention to. In American Christian culture, the individual relationship with God is emphasized. Of course, it is important. But if we let our desire to personally know Jesus stop us from loving the people around us, we are missing the mark. In the same way that the body would be missing something without you, it would be missing something without the other people here. It isn't all about you. It's almost entirely not about just you. In our culture, some personality traits are generally rewarded more. We, as in Western culture, like extroverted people, intelligence, humor, we like people who will take charge, especially the church culture likes people who are in romantic relationships. There's nothing wrong with being one of these people. It's just that there are so many amazing people who don't fit into these categories that make our society work every day. Indeed, we should not exclude ourselves from the body of Christ. But it is also true that we should not exclude others for their differences. The people who listen more than they speak. The ones who just go with the flow in a group project so that everyone's happy. The single people who show up to church week after week and get asked if they've found anyone yet. Maybe these are a little abstract to us, so I'm going to zoom in a little bit on the CCF. From my observations, I see a lot more of the creative types of people. This is probably because we're at Truman and we attract a lot more artists than we do athletes. We see a lot more people who will listen to an album of odd instrumentals with you, watch a movie in French and talk about it for hours, or play board games that you've never heard of, but you're told are going to be super fun, and they usually are. This is great. Please don't forget everything that came before this, the entire first half of this sermon. Those gifts are precious. They're just a little more prized in our culture here. But what about the people who don't fit into that prized category? We can get so wrapped up in the different ways to think about things that we ignore the beautiful simplicity in front of us. Sometimes it's okay to just listen to pop music with the windows down on a Kirksville Friday night. It's okay to watch Fast and Furious because you like when cars go vroom. It's okay to go throw a frisbee on the quad. For every Reed or Derek who gets up here and drops a theology bomb that causes you to question the way you're doing life, we need a testimony about the beautiful ways God has worked in the lives of this body. If people enjoy things that you just can't possibly imagine being enjoyable, that's fine. That doesn't mean they're less part of this body. On the contrary, it is the people with the gifts we deem less honorable that we should lift up. Now, I'm not telling you to go knock down all the people who fit in the majority of CCF, Truman, or Western society. I don't know how you do that, but it means that we need to build up, give honor, and respect those put lower in society because of the nature of their gifts and passions. This leads us back to the why behind all of this. We are one body. We are all gifted by one spirit. Differences in politics or board game preferences, worship style or sports teams, how to pray or who your favorite authors are, so on and so forth. All of these things are important parts of who we all are as individuals, but they pale in comparison to what brings us together. I mean, just look at verses 24 through 26. At first, I read this like it was simply telling us to mourn with those who mourn. But if you look at it through the lens of a body, it seems to mean something a little bit different. If you cut your hand, you won't feel it in your foot. But the whole body is still affected. Your body's resources, like your immune system for fighting bacteria that enter, the platelets in your blood that help stop the bleeding, are directed to this part because it is in need. This doesn't make the foot any less part of the body. It just doesn't need as much attention right now. So it is with the body of Christ. People here, in this room, and out of this room are suffering from their own problems. Whether you know that or acknowledge that or not, doesn't change the fact that it's happening. The body feels the effect in one way or another. We all can feel the weight of each other's burdens, but there's something beautiful in that. We should have compassion for each other and realize that it's okay for someone else to be the focus for a little while. It's the same with the praiseworthy things we do. Just because you aren't the focus of praise when someone else does well doesn't mean people are just looking over you or looking down on you. When one part of the body needs to rest and be healed, the rest of the body takes care of it and shifts its weight to a stronger part. When one of us is honored, it benefits the entire body. Do not let comparison rob you from participating in others' great joy. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. By now, I hope you can see that the part you play in this body is valuable. We need everyone for us to be whole in this body. If you're constantly trying to be something you just aren't, then you're missing out on the beautiful role that you could play in this community. Not everyone wants to get up here and preach. That isn't the role that everyone is designed for. I'm not even sure it's the one I'm best at. If you feel that your strengths lie somewhere less honorable or behind the scenes, then you should do that. You don't need to try to be something that you aren't. But this does not mean to be complacent. Just because you have a role doesn't mean that you should stop trying to grow and find ways to use your gifts. We aren't called to sit back and take care of ourselves just because you have gifts and things that you're good at and that you can do. Don't just use your talents for yourself. Desire to do something more. Everyone here and everyone out there deserves a chance to know what it's like to be a member of this body, to use their gifts, to be supported when they're suffering, and to be praised when they are honored. I've said it quite a few times already, and if it hasn't sunk in, then maybe this last one will. Your differences are celebrated by God and should be celebrated by your community. But remember that the Spirit that brings us together and gives you your gifts is what makes this body what it is. The Spirit of God is the common denominator of every person here and every person who isn't here. If you're part of the body, a much larger entity than yourself, don't let comparison, jealousy, or fear stop you from actually being a part.